Hi guys, it's Dina. Over the course of Israel's genocide in Gaza, there's been a growing interest in the history of Palestine, particularly events like the Nakba. But there's a new film that tells the story of another important, although much less known moment in Palestinian history.
والله يا جماعة الناس مش لاقية تاكل كيف العاد بدها تدفع ديون والصهاينة قاعدين باخذوا في أراضينا.
It's called Palestine 36, and it tells the story of the uprisings against British colonial rule from 1936 to 1939 that led to the Nakba. So I'm really happy to have Palestine 36's director, Anne-Marie Jasser, joining me for a conversation about her film. Hi, Anne-Marie. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really excited to be talking to you. How does it feel for you to finally have this film out in the world, particularly in this moment of Palestinian history?
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to talk to you, Dina, and I'm a big fan of yours. So nice to see you. It's been really a long, long road. And so to be at this point that we're sharing the film and traveling around and that it's finally out there, it's been amazing, but it's also been very difficult. I mean, making this film was almost impossible. It took so much longer than it should have. We didn't think that we would be making a film in the middle of the genocide of our own people. And we just kept going and going and going. And so I think that I've also haven't had any distance because then I finished and now it's out there and now people are looking at it and it's not mine anymore. It belongs to others now. And I think our whole team is really still processing what we went through and what we're still going through.
Yeah, I think every Palestinian now is just processing the moment. And that's without having this like momentous work, you know, that's dealing with such a heavy, an important part of Palestinian history, which I wanted to ask you about because the 1936 Arab Revolt is a very important part of Palestinian history, but it's not one that a lot of people know about. Why did you decide to make a movie about it?
I wanted to make a film about this moment because it was really our first mass uprising. And it's an incredible moment and one that I think that has a lot of pride in it. It was across villages, across cities. It was everywhere. And that was really the real first intifada. And we were proud. It was the longest strike to date at that moment. And it was a moment of a lot of hope. So I wanted to do something about that period. And I knew vaguely the fact that the system of military occupation that we are living now here in Palestine was all set up then. But I really didn't know how much that system was really, really set up in terms of all the ins and outs of it. It was a blueprint for everything we're living today. So I wanted to do something because it never ended, right? It's just still going on. I looked at footage. I looked at all the archival material. I saw hundreds of Palestinians standing at checkpoints being searched as if it's right now. It's what we go through every day. And I thought, God, how long is it? It's like our great grandparents, our parents, us, we're just made to feel like criminals all our lives for just simply living on our own land.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. Like I agree with you that for me, it's a movie that instills a lot of pride in being Palestinian, and it reaffirms the Palestinian people's connection to the land and steadfastness, and you know the resistance is in the DNA. I noticed though that what some people walked out of the movie, Palestinians, and I don't think they were as familiar with that history. So perhaps they were expecting a happier ending, and they felt really defeated. Yeah. I took away the opposite, like resistance is in our DNA, and you know the connection to the land, no matter which colonizers are trying to rip us off of it, is there and it's embedded and ingrained. So that was kind of an interesting thing for me to observe, you know?
Yeah, no, it's totally, it's in our DNA. It's in our blood. We have been resisting all our lives. We will never, we don't deal well with authority and control, and yeah. We shouldn't, and we never will. And if any proof of that is that we're still going. But yeah, the film is, I mean, it's harsh. The film is about a moment of history that was very violent, became very violent. Of course, now what we're living, it's like the violence is, I mean, it's incomparable if we talk about what we're living today. That was also strange when filming, you know, that we were making a film about this violence of, you know, 80 years ago, and yet the violence around us is so much worse now. But there is, I mean, I think there's a lot of hope in it. And there is, you know, without spoiling the film, I think that there is a sense of pride, of resistance, of resilience.
طلع الإنجليز بمنعوا الكوفية وبيضلش حدا مش نازل على الشارع بدون كوفية.
I want to ask you about the actual making of the film. I know it took you years and there were many hurdles along the way, which you've spoken about, including the genocide starting when you were trying to film in Palestine. Tell me about some of the major challenges you faced.
So it's been, you know, a decade almost of preparation in terms of financing and research and work. And then we had everything ready to go in terms of the financing and the script and the cast. And we started pre-production. We restored a village. We built a bus. We built British vehicles, tanks, weapons. We were building all this stuff, the costumes we were doing, all the locations. I mean, the entire film was supposed to be filmed here.
And you planted crops, from what I understand, too.
Right. Yeah. Because the plants, that, you know, when I wrote this story, you know, I was thinking about, what did Palestinians plant? At that time, we planted cotton, we planted tobacco, we planted a lot of things. It was part of what we did and what we grew and what we lived off of and what we exported also. But I didn't realize that these things are all contraband now. Like, Palestinians are not allowed to plant cotton today.
Oh, wow.
It's in the script, cotton. And then it was like, suddenly I realized we're doing work. All of us realized, well, we're not allowed to plant. You're not allowed to plant cotton in the West Bank.
On Palestinian land, by the way.
On Palestinian land. So because the Israelis control the cotton industry, so they have cotton fields and we don't. Many things like that sort of came out. So after October 7th, all of that was lost. It was a complete knockout. I mean, we lost our location. The village that we were supposed to film in is today completely overrun by settlers. It was already on the edge before we shot because there were settlers there. We were always, you know, we were harassed regularly on location scouts and in the preparation. But we lost all of that, and we lost all the things that we built, and we you know, evacuated everybody, and it, you know, it was a, you know, a disaster. And at the same time, there was like what was happening around us was so horrifying. It didn't even feel right to talk about our problem trying to make a film, because, you know, it's nothing in comparison to a genocide. So it took some months with us trying to figure out what to do, and we didn't think it would go on for so long. And when we lost the location of the village, we understood also that we were going to have to move part of the shoot to Jordan, which we did. And of course, things spread. The genocide kept going and everything spread regionally. So we stopped and started about four times and before eventually being able to come back to Palestine and finishing the film here.
What do you think would surprise people the most about Palestine in the 1930s?
Wow. I mean, what surprised me, which is maybe not surprising to other people, but that violence of the British army, we all know the British were here. Well, actually, not everybody knows the British were here. A lot of people have forgotten that, and it's not really talked about. But for those who know the British were here, the fact that things were so set up and planned and thought about by people with control, there was nothing random about anything. That surprised me. What surprised you?
Well, I won't talk about what surprised me, but you mentioned that just coming off of what you said in terms of a lot of people didn't know about the British and sort of their rule there and stuff. I'll tell you who does know about that, and that's the Irish. And I was in Ireland a few months ago reporting, and some of my stories were actually about Palestinian solidarity, their solidarity with Palestine. And I walked around and I talked to people from all walks of life in the Republic of Ireland and in the North. And they're like, yeah, we absolutely, you know, we feel for them on such a deep level. It's the British. You know, we fought the British colonialism, the Irish say, for hundreds of years. And then they went and they took the same colonial officers to Palestine, you know, the black and tans that brutalized us here went to Palestine and brutalized them there. So for me, it was really interesting seeing that play out in live action. Like, this is exactly what they were talking about. So,
yeah,
I mean, I think that's such an important...
Yeah, I think it's why the film is in Irish cinemas right now, and it's doing really well. It's like the number one film in Dublin, in the cinema in Dublin, and I think that's why. And also Liam Cunningham, who's in the film, talks a lot about that. He talks about the black and tans, just what you said, and he's like, you know, it's it's really, you know, interesting to think about.
And I think for me, seeing these brutal colonial tactics that the Israelis now use to carry out their occupation in Palestine and how they're truly rooted in what the British did. Like, some of it is copy-paste, like administrative detention, we know.
So much is copy-paste.
No charge or trial, arrest with no charge or trial came
yeah.
from mass
yeah,
arrest.
They set it up. They totally set it up. I mean, the collective punishments and, you know, blowing up houses to punish somebody, the waterboarding, the torture, tying people, human shields, and then the wall. Liam Cunningham plays Charles Taggart, who came up with the first concept of building a wall. I think Liam really enjoyed playing that role that he's so morally shocked by.
It was really special seeing him on screen in that film. There's a huge cast, right? There's an ensemble cast in this film, so many characters. And they come from different class backgrounds. And we see some that are completely, you know, resisting the British. And we see some that are more leaning towards working with them or collaborating with the Zionists. Why was it important for you to show the diversity in Palestinian society at that time?
I don't think it's possible not to talk about class when it comes to Palestine or anywhere for that reason. And certainly the upper classes in Palestine were very much involved in the revolt. But to be honest, that revolt was a farmer-led revolt. And those are the reasons the British lost control, because they couldn't figure out that game. They could figure out how to deal with the upper classes, and they were mixing, and diplomats were mixing, and there was a language, and there was, you know, the nice side of life as well. But the
they're like schmoozing dealing, and we see them at the same parties in the film.
And yeah, parties. They were playing tennis matches and like having tea and, you know, all those things.
Yeah.
But the villagers really they're the ones who gave the British a run for the money. They're the ones that they couldn't understand. The British could not control the villages and the rebels and the movement in the village, that mass uprising, they couldn't control it. They didn't know what to do with it. The rebels really did have a moment of winning certain parts of villages back, and it was something impressive. And the British lost control of that. So that's why they ended up bringing in thousands and thousands more troops and planes and tanks and crushing it completely. Mm-hmm.
In the film, there's a character who says that before the British, everyone was welcome in Palestine. Can you explain how Britain's support of the Zionist project changed how different groups related to one another in Palestine?
Yeah, you picked up on that line. It's, I mean, you look at Palestine and the history of Palestine, and we are a very mixed place. Armenians came to Palestine for safety. Circassians came to Palestine. Bosnians came to Palestine. There's a village, you know, near Haifa that was, you know, founded by Bosnian Muslims. Religious pilgrims came here, Muslim, Christian, Jewish, like people have always been part of this land. The Zionist project was something else. British colonialism and the Zionist project was about separation, control. That was a whole different thing. And I think it's very important that we talk about that and we recognize that.
There's another striking scene at the beginning of the film where the character Khalid is having a conversation with another worker who's trying to get people to join him in revolting and fighting back against the British.
بطلع منك مقاتل جدع.
أنا بدي شهادة.
ما حداش بده.
Why was it important for you to include this scene?
I mean, I don't think anybody wants to fight. I think people struggle because you have to. You have to breathe. You have to live. You have to, you know, feed your family. I think that's where struggle comes from. I don't think it's, you know, anybody wakes up in the morning and like, you know what, I want to do this. You know, it comes from a place of survival. And if you don't resist and you don't struggle, you will die.
Mm-hmm. Was it hard to find funding and distribution for a movie about Palestine?
Of course, yeah, it always is. It took 8 years to finance the film. We don't have support for cinema in Palestine, so we always have, you know, to do things with co-productions. There are two countries that have co-production agreements with Palestine. One is France and one is the UK. I went to the British for the first time, as ironic as it sounds, because they don't look great in the film. Yeah. They were the British Film Institute, BBC Films. I mean, they all recognized it was their story too.
And they even said, you know, it's time that we confront our colonial past. So they were great partners. And what was even more great is that when the genocide started and we lost everything, of course, it was a complete financial disaster. None of the international partners abandoned the project. And then a lot of private money Palestinians who wanted to see this story. I could not have made the film without that community.
Palestinians aside, are you finding that more people all around from today's generation are interested in films that center the Palestinian narrative versus the Israelis that everyone's very familiar with?
I do think people want to know what's happening. I mean, I've been traveling now with the film, not very long, but I'm going to festivals. I'm seeing really, really young people in the audience, people who are not Palestinian. Those who know about Palestine will, you know, see it in a certain way. And I think people who don't know anything are just finding a story, which is what it is in the end. It's not, you know, it takes place in this huge moment in our history, and it's epic in that way, but I don't think the film is epic. I think it's very intimate. The film has a lot of, you know, we have to look at ourselves and, you know, our own mistakes, but that doesn't override the bigger, you know, robbery of Palestine. But I think, you know, also Palestine Oscar entry, you know, I think there's a reason that it was selected, because, you know, it's ours. This was done by us. We made this. Mm-hmm. And we made this in the worst time of our existence, in the darkest, darkest times. Yeah, it's not like a happy film, right? But it's about survival and our story, our point of view. When the British came 108 years ago to our lands, and everybody knows the story of, you know, of the winners, right? But this is our point of view on it.
And of course, art is a form of resistance and holding on to memory and, you know, telling the story, like you said, from the Palestinian perspective. So I really want to congratulate you on that. Thank you for making this film, Anne-Marie. Thank you for talking to me.
Thank you, Dina, to you and for all your work.